Hi there. This is Teresa Allen, and we are convening the ad hoc, I guess it's not ad hoc, it's the Affiliates Task Force of the Pacifica National Board. And on the phone we have Teresa Allen, Ursula Rudenberg, Otis McClay, Gina Colbert, and who else is on the phone? Anyone else?
That's it right now.
Okay. We are expecting several other people to join us. And we have three specific things on the agenda right now. And let's go over them. We have one, clarification of the task force, what we're intended to do, what's our purpose. And under that, we have three things. One is making policy, one is advocacy and understanding, and one is direct services. Item two on the agenda is clarify the distinction between policy and management decisions. And item number three on the agenda is how to get feedback from affiliates on all projects. Is there anything else that someone feels is pressing to be put on the agenda today?
I'd like to, I think the proposal that about the recommendations to the FCC should be discussed, because I would, if possible, I'd like for it to be brought before the PNB at this meeting.
You're talking about the motion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want that, exactly. We should bring that motion before the PNB, because
okay.
We're going to have to respond to that NPRM before
for the next meeting.
The next meeting, and it's a policy issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that is actually...
Well, it essentially affirms...
Hello? Who just joined?
This month, sir.
Hi, Mansoor.
Hey, Mansoor.
Hi. Sorry for...
Hello, Mansoor.
Hello.
Hello. Okay.
It essentially affirms what you had said in your statement and everything, essentially what we've been working on.
Okay, that was on... Okay, that is the notice of proposed rulemaking?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That might be a little bit difficult to do on this call. Where do you want to put that on the agenda?
Well, let's include it in item number... number two, because that is advocacy.
Clarify the distinction between policy and management decisions?
No, advocacy and the understanding, Pacifica Media advocacy. That's
right,
really
it's
part of
it. 5-4. 5-4 right. On the agenda.
All right, so item number 1B, we'll put that.
No, 2B. No.
She already has it as specific projects advocacy issue.
I know, but Teresa is basically limiting this call to the three agenda items
put
on the top, and I'm saying that this really falls under number two.
Okay.
Okay.
Advocacy and understanding.
All right. We'll get that. Did you reach her? All right. So Maria will be on as soon as she can.
Okay.
Ursula, do you want to make a statement about where we are with affiliates before we start item number one?
Okay. We're in a great place as far as the affiliates programs goes. I feel that assuming that the management ED problems can be resolved and there can be some stability kept in the management team at Pacifica, we're really in a place, we have a tremendous amount of potential right now. Specific really nice news is that yesterday we got an affiliate in Alabama. We got somebody in Alabama. I'm very excited.
We're in Alabama.
Huntsville.
Oh, cool. Okay. That's a government. That's a totally government town.
Yeah. This spring I together with an elder African American woman who had a particular interest in black colleges. She and I did a little mini mail drop campaign to black African colleges with radio stations, and they're the second from that mailer that have signed up. So it's
great.
It's a college station. It's really very cool. It's interesting too. They're a public radio station, and they're basically a music station, and their reason for affiliating is the archives. So they're on a trial. Basically, I offered those stations a trial affiliation for 6 months at no cost, and so they're taking up that offer. And it's pretty exciting. So the other station that responded to that was in Virginia, the station that Earl Caldwell is at. I can't remember offhand. The name of the station. Oh, Hampton.
I was going to say Hampton.
Yeah. Cool. So that's like a whole new world of types of stations that is going to be a real educational experience for me, because their priorities are different than the traditional affiliates. So it's going to be a very interesting experience, and hopefully we'll be able to get some, you know, some stuff from them, some input.
As part of the trial, do we try and offer any kind of public affairs programming? That they put it on even once a week,
daily? Do we encourage them to do it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's hard to tell program directors what to do. You know that. You don't want... It's very important that when they come in that they don't feel that we start to tell them how to run their station. So I always ask them, you know, right away if they're interested in any of our news programs, like FSRN or DN or any variety of other, you know, news magazines that we do distribute.
What about Sprouts?
Yeah, I always bring up Sprouts.
What about participation in it?
Yeah, I always bring that up.
Okay.
I do. I always do with every new person. But in their case, they're really a music station, and so it's not going to be top of their list, and it's more important to develop some sort of... It's more important for us to find out what they want from us and to develop that before asking them to, like, change their ideas, you know.
I was just asking about the offerings. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I always ask them, you know, offhand if they want the more expensive news programs, because that's what generally interests people.
Ursula, will you be making a presentation of this kind of information at the National Board
I don't know.
Weekend?
I don't know what the agenda is. Nobody has communicated with me about the agenda.
Okay. Right.
I don't know.
Anything
I think
else?
It's always a good idea for the affiliates program to make some sort of presentation at the board, because I think there is, I mean, this is something, you know, that I've brought up with this agenda, is the need to begin kind of informing people more on all levels of the network of what the affiliate program really is and what it's doing, so that, you know, people gain a better understanding.
Ursula, do they offer programs to Pacifica?
The station?
The affiliate.
Yeah.
Through AudioPort.
Sure. I mean, through AudioPort, people offer a lot of programs. And actually, some of the programs that are on the satellite come from affiliate stations. There's several programs that... I don't know if BAI here in New York picks up any of them, but... I know that Otis wasn't what the one. It wasn't the Access This. Didn't that start an affiliate station originally?
Yeah, a little. Actually, it's a O&O called KPFT.
No, but didn't it? But I know it is.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. It was coming. Gene Parker was doing it from sort of KGNU RPFI.
Yeah. Now it's moved to KPFT.
That was what was Disability Radio.
Right, yeah.
Now Adrian is doing a show in Berkeley.
Yeah. And there's a few other shows on the satellite that actually do come from affiliates.
Well, I look forward to, at least during the reports of the committee, that you could say something about our program, maybe at this point, whether we're self-sufficient, how we're specifically reaching out to different affiliates, some of the struggles you've faced, some of the rewards as just evidenced in the Alabama station, and some of the wide variety of services that we're offering to people.
Okay.
So the National Board can be more informed.
Okay, so yeah. I'm probably going to post this affiliation. I actually have five affiliations to announce, and usually... I send them to Dan, and he posts it, but I kind of doubt at this point that he has time to do that. So I think I'm going to go ahead and do it myself, just so people know about it.
And please be prepared to give a brief report. I mean, you don't need to do a PowerPoint or anything, but at least sometime during the committee report.
Sure. I'm always happy to talk about...
So you've actually given a report at every meeting so far.
The last two meetings I have, yeah.
Anything else that you would like to... mention on the status of affiliates for the...
Well, I guess the only other thing I'd like to just mention is that I am One of my chief concerns is operations needs, and that Otis's work on the national staff has just like changed the landscape for me. It's just been a really wonderful and helpful thing to have Otis working with the national staff, working as the technological director, because he's very good at relating to the affiliates. He's very good at setting up technologies that we need to deliver services, and he's very good at explaining stuff to me, which, you know, I just, and he and Pete Caracas and I have been working pretty closely, and it's just made an enormous amount of difference in terms of what we can do and what
we
can offer.
Do we need to put something in writing and tell the affiliates any update on what is available, or have we made any headway?
No, they're all aware of it. Everybody's pretty much aware.
Okay.
We talk to them pretty regularly. We communicate with them a lot. So
all right.
Everybody, they pretty much know.
And are the newest affiliates participating as much as the older affiliates?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the station. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say some of the LPFMs are some of the more active people.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to move on.
Just one more thing, I guess, in terms of reporting, is that really the biggest thing that's going on here in my office is building the website for the affiliates, which is just a huge... Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, my phone's wacky. It's just an enormous undertaking, and I've got several volunteers helping me, and hopefully soon this thing will be launched, and that'll really make a huge difference. It'll also make it easier for this committee to work, because there'll actually be a visual component to all this talk.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just that's a large part of what I'm doing right now, is trying to get this website, you know, which is a massive undertaking in terms of, you know, just figuring it all out.
Good.
But it looks good. It's going to be a beautiful site.
Hmm. Okay, good. Anything else?
Well, and just that we're gearing up for the GRC. It sounds like the GRC is going to be a barn raising in Northampton, Massachusetts. And according to Otis, we probably will be doing a lot of workshops there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an opportunity for us to move ahead with a lot of the ideas that were started at Tech Talk, of making networks of support networks for various independent radio stations, whether they're in Pacifica Network or not, just basically building support infrastructure for independent radio stations that need support, and that, you know, is anywhere from training in production to training in operations. And Otis is actually going up to KAOS in Evergreen, our affiliate up in Evergreen, or at Olympia, Washington, where he's going to work together with Donna DiBianco, who's one of the main movers and shakers in the Tech Talk initiative, and they're going to put together a very low budget but high quality some training videos or CDs that we can hopefully
DVDs.
Use to help people, you know, to give to people.
DVDs,
sorry.
Okay.
And on this end, I'm working on just connecting with as many independent and college radio stations on the East Coast to see how many of them would be interested to come and network with us when we get to the GRC. So that's it.
Okay.
I'll stop there.
Thank you. Thank you for a thorough report. All right, now I want to talk, and I don't mean to be rushing anybody, but
that's
I
okay.
did say that I wanted to hold this meeting to an hour, so
yeah.
And we did get started late, so... I'm going to, hopefully, we'll go through this agenda and we will delegate and we'll give people assignments to do in between. So at our next telephone conference, we'll bing, bang, boom, you know, we'll just move right along. We want to talk about the purpose of the task force, and let's talk, the first item is making policy. The three items I put under that were the affiliate policy, their media policies, and the statement for the external media world. And Pacifica relations with affiliates regarding policy. Does anybody have anything to say about the first Pacifica affiliate policy?
Well, I don't think it could be made from a task force. It has to come also from the affiliates themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem to me.
What do you see being in that policy? What kinds of things?
Their relationship to... are you asking me, or was this general?
It's just a question. I'm not just not sure what...
My sense would
what
be...
What a policy would look like.
Their relationship to the National Board and to Pacifica as a whole. Although that's a contractual agreement, I'm just wondering from a policy point of view, I mean, that's where, for me, it's where media policy comes into play.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Well, I think that's more the second point. I mean, I think there's, just for the sake of clarity, I think there's several things that are being, let me just tease it out for a minute. I think the first thing, Pacifica affiliate policy, really pertains to, the thing is, the affiliates program is growing. And partly because what we offer has grown and changed so much in the last year due to the efforts of Pete and Otis. And so we are getting a tremendous amount of interest from a lot of corners that are no longer fitting the traditional profile of what used to be an affiliate that was created when all we had was a satellite. And so so what's happening is people are coming to me now and wanting to buy or wanting to have our services, in particular the audio port. And a lot of these people, I need to come up with new affiliate relations. I need to come up with new types of contracts with different types of people. Now, I feel that that's my job to come up with those, to develop those relationships and, you know, set prices and all this. But I feel that it would be better if I did it within the context of the task force from the PNB or, you know, from the affiliate task force, where within certain broad outlines of policy. Let me be specific so you know exactly what I'm talking about. There was talk recently about the possibility of making other nonprofit organization affiliates to Pacifica. Mm-hmm. There was concern about that because there was a question, and I share this concern, is that if we're a media organization, should we be taking money from organizations that we cover, you know, that we report on? You know, where are the lines, where can the lines be drawn between what are the appropriate client relationships for us as an organization? I'll give you another example. let me stay with that example
for
a minute.
Let me ask to clarify. So you're saying other nonprofits wanted to become affiliates like Amnesty International or ACLU.
Actually, we have not been approached, as far as I know, for that. But I remember at the last board meeting, it was brought up by Don Rojas and several other people, this idea of branching out the definition of an affiliate to cover, you know, that type of relationship, to provide, you know, sound to organizations like the NAACP or.
Okay.
Now, I remember at the meeting, several people raised concerns about that because they said that could be a conflict of interest. The point I'm saying is that these things, it's worthwhile to define them on the board level so that when I proceed to begin developing client relationships, that it's within the guidelines of policies that, you know, are agreed upon by the organization. And that we really look at the implications of these relationships. Now, I'll give you another example. One of the things that came up at NFCB and has come up repeatedly more and more through the internet, I mean people contacting me, is that independent producers want to use the audio port as a resource. They not only do they want to upload their shows, which they can do for free, they want to be able to download shows because they want to use the material on the audio port to make their productions. So what kind of a client is that? Another type of situation has come up is that websites want to be able to access the audio port and for sound. Now, a website is, again, a different type of client than an independent producer. A website has a completely different capacity for, you know, reaching people.
These have legal ramifications.
Yes, they do.
Through our attorney.
Yes, they do. And that's why I'm saying on some level, this is policy. You know, on some level, it's management, and I'm willing to do that part. But I feel that, you know, and I'm willing to research the legal part of it. That's kind of the nitty-gritty. But I think that in the end, it would be better for all of us if we had a policy which defined the parameters of developing new client relations, or what are client relations. We really don't have a policy stating what an affiliate is and or is not. You know, and it doesn't. I'm not asking you to micromanage this. But I do think that on the board level, there should be an understanding of exactly what an affiliate is. So that's what that first thing. I mean, I've recently been approached quite insistently by a commercial website that really, really wants to use the audio port. They write to me like once a week at least. I don't know what to say to them.
Anybody have any comment on this?
So, I mean, this is a research project.
Just that as part of what Ursula said, that there are shows certainly on BAI that are the backbone of the show is a nonprofit, and so they already exist as a radio show, so they can go on the audio port. But what does that mean in terms of? I mean, I'm just expanding on what she's saying in a more concrete way.
Right, like Dina said to me, well, what about like fairness and accuracy? Because they're a nonprofit organization, and they have access to the audio port. And I said, well, but they're also a media group because they do counterspin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is a difference between, say, United for Peace and Justice and FAIR, because FAIR does radio. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
But there are other shows also.
Right. So it's just, you know, these are the kind of ins and outs. So, I mean, I'm not saying we need to resolve this today. I think this phone call is more to introduce these issues, you know. But I'm saying that I think one of the problems that I encountered with the audio port is that when it was created, there was no kind of awareness prior to the audio port that we were changing the definition of services. And I don't think there was really a problem with that because it fell well within the range of, you know, what we could do. But the awareness wasn't there on the board level of the fact that Pacifica was largely expanding its ability to serve. And so I think that, you know, I'd like to move more in a more coordinated way.
Okay. Would you like to weigh in on this?
Well, the overarching issue for me is just that all of these things are opportunities to get the message out.
Yeah.
The object, in my opinion, would be to be as inclusive as possible. You know, the fact that a commercial website wants to carry our stuff is really fascinating. And I think, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity.
I'm just concerned about liability if...
Did someone just come on?
The liability, effectively, at least if there's a model for liability right now, each individual station that carries our stuff is liable.
Maria just joined the call. Sorry I'm late, you guys. My computer's crashed.
Hi, Maria. Sorry.
I'm wondering what you mean by liability.
Could I say something before we go to that direction? This is Mansoor, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Mansoor.
Hi, how are you, Maria?
I'm doing better.
Good, glad to hear you. Just in general, I think Ursula, you're saying it right, that we should have different policies for affiliates who have radios and who don't have radios, who do programming and who don't program. But for commercial, I think it's a great opportunity to at least get our name out there, and
right.
I think there should be a charge for them. So we need to have a different policy for the commercial radios who might have some money, who might be able to at least give, if not Pacifica, but the affiliates part of Pacifica some money, so you can have more of a free hand to do a better website, if you say, and then, you know, whatever comes up with it.
I tell you what, this is, let me take control here because I want to move the agenda. I would like, Otis, will you be at the National Board meeting?
Yeah.
How about if Otis and Ursula and maybe Maria, if possible.
I don't think Maria, you're not going to be there, are you?
I am planning to go.
You are going to go. Cool. Okay.
I'll be in a neck brace, but
I had heard that you weren't, so I'm glad to hear that you are.
No, I'm allowed to travel. I just can't lift my luggage. I'm not allowed to lift anything more than 5 pounds. So I'm just going to need some
help. Restriction.
Yeah, I'm allowed to get on airplanes. I can't drive myself, but I can get on airplanes.
Well, cool.
Good for you, Maria. Hang in there.
And I'll look funny.
Well, we need the humor. We need to laugh.
Yeah, well, you'll definitely get a kick out of this.
Oh, stop it. I don't think so.
Are you going to be there, Mansoor? Are you coming up?
It depends. We have a pitch on Friday, and then maybe I'll come Saturday and come back Saturday night.
Okay, well, this is let me take control again here. Okay, I would like to discuss this item. Maria, we're discussing on the agenda, what is the purpose of the task force? Number A, making policy, and we're talking about Pacifica affiliate policy. I would Ursula for sure, and I and Otis, let's discuss this at the PNB. Take some time out. Maria, you're welcome to join us, and then report back to the committee. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
So when are you guys going to meet?
You're there. I'll be there Wednesday.
If you think you might be there on Saturday, we'll try and hold this conversation on Saturday. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
All right. Number two is Pacifica Media Policies and a Statement for the External Media World.
Yeah, that refers more to that refers, for instance, to what this to Otis's email is. It's basically I'm not on the PNB, but I personally don't think that the PNB needs to make statements about every situation that happens in the world, but I do think that when things happen in media in the United States, that is a good time for the PNB to make a statement, because people, you know, care what Pacifica says as much as anybody else in the media movement. And so this really refers to what kind of, you know, when do we want to respond to things in a larger media landscape? For instance, right now, this proposal that's on the table.
Well, we responded, for instance, to the consolidation of media.
Yeah.
We actually came out with a thing there and actually broadcast a couple of those meetings that the FCC had.
So when do we want to respond to events and what?
And for me, the question, hello?
Yes,
yeah.
Go ahead, Dina.
The question becomes, who is responding? Is it Pacifica's five sister stations and the national board, or are we responding on behalf of all affiliates?
No, all the PNB can do is make a statement on its own behalf.
The Pacifica Foundation.
So then why is the affiliate task force being involved in this?
Because
The issue directly affects affiliates.
Well, For instance, this current situation is actually, you know, tanking one of our affiliates as we speak, you know, and which is a serious matter. But more than that, too, I do take seriously the, you know, statement that Dan put out, which is that the affiliates coordinator also is partly responsible for external affairs. I'm the person who is out there all the time talking to many other media groups because of the nature of my work. And so I feel this is the most logical conduit for these type of communications. It doesn't have to be the only one, but I think it's one of the most logical ones because my work constantly puts me in touch with other media groups and the affiliates and other radio stations.
Okay, well, I'm going to try to expedite this. Ursula, what do you think this task force should do about this issue?
Well, I think two things. One, make a decision whether we want to make this part of our job or not, to make proposals to the PNB when statements are necessary about media. And number two, to actually consider Otis's recommendation. Or not Otis's, but it's my recommendation, too.
Okay,
yeah,
and number three is how do we connect policy that may occur in between board meetings when we can't get, I mean, does this group then have to call an emergency board meeting to get approval? Because things do come up regularly, and it may not be in the time frame of PNB meetings.
Yeah, that could be done, you know, on teleconference.
I'm just making a number three. Timing.
Well, but
okay.
This particular issue, the response to this NPRM is really a policy thing, because it does affect some of our, it affects us too.
Okay, Ursula, then I'm sorry, task force members, lend me your ears. I would say then let's get to B, and we will decide whether we can make a proposal to the PNB. And maybe is there someone that wants to work with this with Ursula? Work on this issue? Dina, would you like to work on this issue?
I'll work on advocacy with her.
Okay. Dina.
Who's meeting on Saturday night?
Saturday is Otis, Teresa, Mansoor, Ursula, and maybe Maria, if she has the energy. Okay?
Yep.
Item number three, Pacifica relations with affiliates regarding policy, i.e. their policies and statements regarding media. Ursula, would you like to make any statement about this? We don't have any affiliate person on this phone, do we?
Right now.
I mean, I would.
That's something I think we should just table, because I think that we need Steve for that.
Okay.
I mean, basically, what that is just coming to some sort of decision about how we talk to the affiliates about their participating in making policy statements, which is a delicate thing, because. The affiliate program's success partly rests right now upon the fact that we do not interfere in their business at all. So I think it needs to be talked about and some sort of clarity be brought to that. But I think we need Steve here for that discussion.
Okay, Ursula, let's take time to maybe bring the subject up to Steve and Marty sometime over the weekend. So we'll consider that table. All right, we're now on item B of the agenda, advocacy and understanding. Pacifica Media Advocacy for Independent Radio in the, quote, external world, end quote.
That's really pretty much the same thing as we already discussed.
Which is B.
Yeah, we already did that.
Because that was my understanding.
All right,
yeah.
I'm going to cross that off. All right, communication and awareness and education within Pacifica of affiliate issues, structures, concerns, benefits, large media picture vision.
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Odin.
One of the things I want to get out of this is that we've put this motion on the board's agenda.
That's what we're doing right now.
Okay.
There is one thing. We did not put an item on the agenda, and that is we need to tweak some of the bylaws having to do with the affiliates person,
right.
The affiliate reps or directors on the national board. And so... I don't know where that needs to be put.
Well, that again, Steve has to. That really has to be Steve. I think it would be inappropriate for us to do it without him.
Well,
and,
I think
or Marty. Isn't Marty on this task force too?
No, she's not.
Oh,
no, wait, I'm confused. Are you talking about the motion?
She's talking about the changes in the bylaws. It's listed under specific projects, but until Steve is here, I don't want to move on it.
Okay, I'm doing a sidebar right now. I'm totally off the agenda. But we will take that up with Steve and Marty unofficially. We'll get that ball rolling this weekend.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, basically, Marty has communicated with Steve and said that the bylaws committee wants a statement from the task force, and Steve has basically, you know, said he's prepared to work on it, and that's where it stands right now.
All right. Next, let's go to the resolution that Otis has written, and it has to do... the notice of proposed rulemaking. I don't know, Maria, if you saw my agenda that I sent out.
You know, I did, but my computer's now been crashed, so I haven't been able to revisit it.
Well, Otis just wrote it anyway, and that makes it really challenging for us to pass because I can't see it in front of me.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, we can read it, but think it's really tough to pass the...
Is it what you sent, or was it changed, Otis?
It's just what I sent.
Is it what Ursula originally had sent?
No. I'll read it. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
Okay? In fact, it's a little bit too simple for me, but anyway... It's a proposed motion regarding low-power FM in response to FCC notice of proposed rulemaking. Whereas low-power FM stations extend the reach of community radio to areas previously uncovered, and whereas low-power community radio is no different to the listeners from full-power radio, whereas low-power community stations serve their communities in the same way as full-power community stations, and whereas creation of a low-power community station represents the combined organizational, financial, and legal efforts of the community, and whereas low-power community stations operate in the public interest and fulfill the ideals of the Pacifica Foundation to bring voices to the airwaves otherwise not heard, and whereas the current rules keep low-powered stations at a status which allows full-power stations and translators to preempt their signal, thus shutting them down in case of a conflict developing after the low-power receives the construction permit or goes on the air, and whereas such a conflict has developed in the case of a Pacifica affiliate which may occasion that station losing its signal, thus illustrating the danger to all legitimate low-power stations, and whereas the public interest, the original reason for creating low-power stations, cannot be served by the loss of a signal, be it resolved that the Pacifica Foundation supports the efforts currently being carried out by entities such as the Prometheus Radio Project and the United Church of Christ, Office Communication, etc., and the Media Access Project, among others, to effect rule changes which might mitigate or remove the current secondary status of low-power stations, and that Pacifica Foundation will respond to all appropriate FCC notices of proposed rulemaking in such a way as to support the change to primary status of low-power stations, and that the Pacifica Foundation will respond to the recent notice released by the FCC on March 17, 2005, upon its publication of the Federal Registrar to achieve as much as possible the intention stated above, that funds be made available if needed to our FCC attorneys, Garvey, Schubert, and Bearer, in order that they may draft the final response to increase its effectiveness. That's it.
Do I understand?
It's pretty clear.
Do I understand it right that it's like Pacifica's sort of responsible for the low-power FM?
We're not responsible for them, but there's about 15 low-powered radio stations in our network by now, and they symbolize by far the most vulnerable component of our network, and they also symbolize in some ways the most idealistic component in many ways.
And an area of greatest potential growth, too.
So do I understand this correctly, that we can only support those low-powered groups that are affiliated with us? We can't support those that are not?
Yeah. What do you mean by support? I mean, we're supporting all low-powered stations with this. Basically, what's happened...
Because you do have in one of your whereas that you support the Pacifica low-powered affiliates.
No, we say...
And I'm asking if that's exclusionary.
No, what he says is whereas one of our affiliates is being endangered, which is true. One of our affiliates is losing its signal.
It's an example of the... It just happens that it's an affiliate. One station, I think, already has. I don't know what it was. And there's a commercial station in Idaho that's moving their tower. And it could potentially shut down KYRS.
Well, it will. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless some of the rules are changed. And, you know, and I have a particular feeling for that station since that was the first barn raising I went to.
Yeah. So basically, the deal is low-powered stations have to give their signals up if somebody else wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And Prometheus and many other groups are asking that be changed so that, you know, that they be able to keep their signals, and also that local programming get precedence over non-local program, because these stations are all, you know, coming out of somewhere, they're like Clear Channel stations. They're not local stations.
Actually, for LPFMs, there's actually a requirement that at least, I think it's 10 hours, has to be local.
Well, I totally support supporting low-powered stations, you know, so
well,
I would love to see the National Board support advocacy in this area.
Okay. That where it impinges on Pacifica is the question of the translator. The specific response in this case is that low-power FMs be given primary status over translators, okay? Right now, if there were a conflict between a translator and a low-power FM, it would be a question of who was there first. And that impinges on Pacifica.
A translator is?
That's simply a frequency that's repeating another frequency.
So if a large commercial station, in this case, wants to move.
We have one in Galveston. KPFT has one in Galveston. KPFK has one in Santa Barbara.
Right.
And so that the issue for Pacific is simply that if that conflict developed with one of our translators, we're supporting the LPFM over our translator. That's essentially what we're saying. So we're taking a pretty, you know, altruistic position there. And I think it's only fair.
I think it's a proper position to take.
Yeah.
I don't think you can have it both ways.
Yeah. And in this particular case, the more responses, because also we want to encourage our affiliates and anybody else to respond to this NPRM in essentially the same way, you know, to support that LPFMs are real radio stations and should be given, you know, the respect that
they deserve. Otis, are we saying, okay, I don't have it in front of me, but you said something about going to our attorneys. What are you asking
us to go to our attorneys
to do?
Well, it's just an issue that if you, and I'm not sure how valid this is, but in the research that I've done, most of the responses to these NPRMs are by attorneys, and I suspect that we make it more effective by having it done ultimately by an attorney.
Well, Kriegler wouldn't do this?
Yeah, no, it's Kriegler. That's Garvey Schubert Behrer.
Okay.
That's Kriegler. I just put the name of the firm there.
You know, I wonder if...
And so I think it, you know, we may be talking about a couple of thousand dollars to...
Yeah, Kriegler is also the lawyer for the station that's losing its license, so
yeah.
He's well-versed in this problem.
But it might be a couple thousand dollars.
I think Maria
that's my guess,
to
because
something.
He's probably already deeply involved in this anyway, so... There's a lot of work that he's already done on it, but I think it might be more effective, you know, if
Maria, did you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, since I don't unfortunately have the exact language in front of me, I'm wondering if we don't just automatically commit lawyer time and money, but commit Pacifica and where appropriate commit to going to a lawyer. Again, I don't have the language, so I can't...
I was just trying to cover the bases so that management would have, you know, a directive that it was okay to spend the money on that, even if we probably could without it. But, and the other thing is to, you know, have the board know exactly what's going on and support it. You know,
right, and I'm totally in support of this, definitely in concept. You know, they say that the devil's in the details, so I just...
Right.
I don't have the details in front of me. So, but I'm just saying that just so that we don't end up automatically committing what may or may not be necessary or appropriate, that maybe we
should language in such
a way that...
Maria, I actually said in there, if necessary.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, like I said...
I wanted a green light to be able to use that resource if it turned out that, you know, that we needed to.
Odie, forgive me for, you know, not being able to have access to any of my...
No, that's great.
Marie, he just sent it out this morning anyway, so...
Yeah, I just sent it out this morning.
I think what I'm asking for in this meeting is that we agree to try and bring this to the PNB,
yeah,
and I think the actual wording... We should definitely not decide on until everybody can see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is the first cut, and I put in there what I thought was essential and you know and relevant. and succinct so that it's clear. And
why is the church reference relevant?
The UCC, the United Church of Christ, has been extremely active in media access stuff. It's one of the major players in supporting media access, and of the two entities that have been most active in responding and lobbying and working with the FCC are that Office of Communications of the UCC and Prometheus. So they are, and this is, it's not a religious thing at all. It has to do with, because I don't know if you know what the UCC is, the Congregational Church. And they're very, very, as a group, they're very socially active. It's not a religious issue. I debated whether or not to put that in there because people might think it was, but they have been very, very active in, you know, representing media access interests, it's not religious interests. In fact, they've opposed, what's happening in the LPFMs is that these religious groups that, you know, the extremely, you know, the dominionists basically have tried to buy up a whole bunch of frequencies on these LPFMs.
Mm-hmm.
And the UCC has been active in proposing policies that would prevent that. You know, prevent any one entity from buying up huge numbers of frequencies and translators. There was 18,000 translator applications went in a couple of years ago when there was a window, and many of them are churches of one kind or another. And so the UCC has worked to prevent that from happening and keep media access as open as possible.
So you're saying, Otis, you're saying that the churches were, there was an opening to buy translators or an open to buy,
yeah.
opening because, to
yeah.
buy local.
There were 18,000
yeah.
applications that went in, and there's still 8,000 pending.
See, what happened was that that Congress put a stop on the FCC's ability to give licenses to LPFMs
mm-hmm.
yeah. because public radio protested.
Right.
And
well,
so the LPFMs got frozen, but then it became possible for stations to get translators and basically use the space that the LPFMs couldn't have to build translators.
Yeah.
And so you had this rash. There's like this one place in Idaho where they just like have, I mean, I don't know how many thousand applications they did alone, and it's a religious right, program machine. And they're broadcasting all the way to Hawaii. They're blocking stations in Hawaii.
That's only satellite.
They're religious. They use the satellite.
Yeah, these are satellite.
And they have translators everywhere. So while Congress is stopping the LPFMs from growing, the translators are snapping up all the frequencies. So
one of the elements of this NPRM is, should the 8,000 pending applications for translators be rejected, so that they can. You have to understand the way this works is the FCC opens a window for applications, and you never know when it's going to be. And suddenly they'll open a window, and a lot of these right-wing entities have a lot of money, and so they're ready to make those applications when those windows open, so they can just flood the FCC.
This is very important discussion. The problem is that we have a limited time, and I think we need to make a decision on what to do from here.
Well,
we should make a decision to make a decision later or something. Does anyone have any proposals to?
Well, my proposal is that we decide whether to bring this before the PNB, and if we do decide to do that, to agree to meet prior to that to agree on the wording.
Right.
I think we should take it to the PNB.
But the problem is the PNB meets in less than one week.
And?
Yeah. And I hate to send anything to the PNB that's not ready, because, I mean, we can
have... This is almost ready.
Yeah.
This is really almost ready.
I think the spirit of the statement is really good, and we need to defend the progressive low-power FM radio, so definitely we need to have some sort of umbrella board that we can somehow provide legal assistance or sometimes even maybe financial assistance to the low-power FM. So definitely the spirit of the statement that Otis has written is great, and we should follow it. So
this is Teresa. Let me take control here. I'm on the Finance Committee, and we just passed a resolution yesterday that said that every major, every PNB and its committee have a financial impact statement attached to every major motion, including the source of funds and the maximum cost. And when we, when the people are interpreting this differently, I don't want it to sound like, or be an actual commitment that we are now going out and defending like a Don Quixote every LFA, you know,
yeah.
low power.
Teresa, I think we ought to clarify that in
well,
the...
Well, that's not in the motion. I mean, it's not even implied.
Yeah, I'm just saying that we could put some precautionary language in there so that anybody else who reads it and feels as Teresa does, that it might imply that, that there's a precautionary statement that says this does not mean that we're going to be Don Quixote and X, Y, and Z. So that people, if they get concerned about that, then they have their assurance that that's not what it means.
Okay. I would only say as a caveat to that, I mean, I have no objection, that read it and see, because I don't think there's any implication whatsoever that we would do that. That what this motion essentially says is that the action in the motion is that we will respond to that notice in a predictable way, and we've stated what that way will be. And the real reason for the motion is to make sure that we agree that we are willing to put LPFM's primary over translators. That's the real crux of the issue.
And put local programming primary. That's the one thing I think is missing from the statement.
Well, the only thing is that's actually in the rules about LPFMs, but there's certainly no reason not to stress that
we're
putting local over it. And I would say, Maria, you should, you know, look at it and see how you feel. If it needs a precautionary statement, because the essence of it is to try to keep it as simple as possible. And if you feel that it needs that, then let's put it in. I don't think there's any implication in there that,
Maria, is there someone that Otis can send this to that you can see a copy of this?
I just wish that were the case. I mean, I'm homebound. I'm in a neck brace. Mm-hmm. My computer's crashed.
Mm-hmm. Maria, I would be happy to spend a lot of time with you on the phone.
Yeah,
like
maybe
going
we
through
could
it.
Take that. But
we can do that. I'll do that with you.
Okay. I mean,
we get somebody to drive over to your house with a copy. I mean, I'm sure.
Do you have a fax?
No.
I'm sure we can work that out.
Is there another LSB member in your area that would carry it to you? Maybe someone that might want to be involved in the discussion.
Mansoor, can you do that?
To carry it to our house?
Uh-huh.
I can do that. I have to do it today. If you email it to me, I'll definitely print it out and take
it. What's your email?
Remember, we're on an open line.
That's fine.
I'll email it to you right now.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And then, Maria, I'm going to be at the session from tomorrow.
Artis, did you email it to me?
I'll email it to everybody again.
I emailed it to everybody, yeah. I thought I put it on everybody that I think is
okay, excuse me for a second. Maria, could I have your phone number once
again? No, you're not on the list. Yes, Dean, I did.
Mansoor, I'm sorry. What did you say?
I need your phone number. So I'm going to be working at the station from 12 to 4.
Well, I don't want to give it over an open line.
But
Mansoor, I'm listed.
You have my phone number, right?
No, you changed it. Remember, you lost your cell phone. But
Mansoor,
I'm listed.
Number.
Just like go on information.
Okay, but it's the same number if you have it. Give me a call.
Okay,
I can give you mine. It's 310 Maria.
Hold on, let me grab a pen.
Wait a minute. You're giving it out over the net.
Stop. Wait a minute. Ursula, do you have these phone numbers?
I don't have Maria's number. I have Mansoor's, not Maria's.
Okay. Well, if you call me after this call, I can give it to you.
Okay, will do.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You know, better yet, Ursula, could you put my phone number in the email that you're sending out to everybody?
Okay.
All right. And then maybe you can put Maria's phone number, too, so I can call her.
I don't have... Okay. Okay.
I'll give those to you.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. So I want to...
Okay. Can I just say one more thing about this?
Sure.
I mean, I think this conversation was interesting, and it points kind of back to the more general topic of policymaking. I mean, I think that it would be really good for us to develop language that clarified that, you know, because we started drifting into this concern about being Don Quixote. I don't think that's, I think we should, you know, get to a point where it's clear to us that we're not running around doing quixotic things. It's really a matter of us deciding whether Pacifica in the future is going to respond to FCC rulings regarding media if we feel, you know, what I'm saying is what we're doing here is not running out to save one station. We're participating in a national effort to speak out on behalf of independent media that's happening on the government, the federal level. And you know, there are other organizations like Prometheus and the Church Group and others that have committed themselves to speaking up. And in a way, what I'm doing is asking, you know, this committee to begin encouraging Pacifica to speak up as well, you know, when it picks and chooses, but nonetheless to see this as a legitimate activity as well. So it's not a quixotic activity. It's joining the ranks of other organizations that are speaking up on in the national media forefront.
Well,
so I want to make that distinction because that's where I want this to be headed, and I think we can get to the point where people understand that that's what we're really doing.
Well, I think that this would be something that the national board would it would involve a considerable amount of discussion, and we only have 1 week to
really think considerable. I mean, this is because this seems to me to be a pretty direct thing. We are ultimately a media advocate, and we advocate, you know, free speech and voices not heard. And what we're doing here essentially is saying we're taking that official position.
Yeah, I would not recommend making this a big matter of discussion for the whole PMB because I think it's a waste of people's time. And people have enough problems. I do think that this committee can decide whether we want to go in that direction and continue to make proposals, concrete proposals, to the PNB so that they have something concrete to talk about.
Well, see, the thing is that even if Maria gets it today and she discusses it at length with you on the phone and she gets it on the agenda, which it should be difficult because getting something on the agenda in less than a week does not really give PNB people much time to study it and absorb it.
Right.
So really, it's really a matter of faith that we expect PNB people to, you know, say up or down whether this goes. And that's really not a fair treatment of the PNB.
Yeah, but the problem that we have is that at some point this NPRM will be published in the Federal Register and we'll have 60 days to respond. And so there's a certain sense that there's
that's
a sense of
timing.
Urgency about it.
Right.
Well, let's
and in a way, requesting the PNB to support, essentially say, yes, Pacifica will walk the walk in respect of what it does itself, does not seem to me to be something that would require a whole lot of discussion. I think that you and Maria could look at it and see how you feel about it in that respect.
Well, let's say when George Barnstone brought up two motions. First, he said he wanted us to. He wanted
they
the
had
national
nothing to do
board
with the media.
Mm,
they had
true.
Neither of them had anything to do with the media.
True.
They were
the first one had to do with
UN.
The year of the child. Very benign statement. He wanted the PNB to.
This is strictly media, Teresa.
I understand, but I'm not even.
Well, that was the issue that was brought up in respect to those motions was that they weren't media issues. And don't forget, we've already passed a motion supporting, I'm trying to remember, RPFI, did we? There was one that we've
mm-hmm.
already passed supporting the media.
Non-consolidation.
Yeah, the consolidation issue.